Gentlemen, before we get started on the show, as there is very little in our OB, what is your favourite conspiracy theory?
Oh, Tom, have you got one to mind? I want to have a think. I do quite like them.
No.
I'm into the... I like the aliens built the pyramids.
I like that
some
one.
Of the hieroglyphics and the fact that it's just they're just fucking mental pyramids. Like, how did they construct those in a time where there wasn't really a lot about? Yeah. Like, well, it was slaves, obviously, but... maybe it wasn't. And also, there are some hieroglyphics of like UFO like sort of things. And they all point, you know, they point to like the true north, or like yeah. the Great Pyramid points true north. It's like, how the fuck did these guys work that out then?
And it's the same ones where you've got the ones down in South America and like all around the world. Apparently, there's some in, I think it was Romania. They started digging up and then the Romanian government blocked it.
There are pyramids in Romania.
I think it's Romania. It's Eastern Europe. No. Bosnia. Bosnia and Kosovo.
Do you want to hear a fun fact actually about pyramids?
Go on.
Well, it's not really a fun fact, just a bit of a story. When I was 7, we went to Mexico, and you know Chichen Itza?
Yeah.
We went to the top of that, and you can't climb that anymore. But back in my day, when I was a kid, we went to the top.
You climbed to the top of Chichen Itza?
Yeah, me, mum, dad, sister.
That's sick.
Yeah, you can't go up it now.
Nah, see, that's what I want to do. I think
back in the day, you could just fucking run up a pyramid.
So you must have one.
I mean, nothing fun.
What about 9/11?
Yeah, that was what I was going to think of. 9/11.
Which one's your favourite in 9/11? Your favourite 9/11 conspiracy?
I don't believe any of them. I think they're all nonsense.
Do you find it odd,
though? Some bloke got in a plane and crashed into a tower, and then another bloke got in another one and crashed into the other one.
It's actually several blokes, mate.
Well, yeah, obviously, but one was driving.
Two were driving.
What about the Pentagon, though? Like that bit's a bit sus.
Yeah. I don't know.
And I feel like they warned Michael Jackson to sleep in that morning. Like, he had a meeting at the World Trade Center, and it was like the Seth MacFarlane, Create a Family guy.
Yeah.
You know, they're saving all the stars.
Yeah, there are a lot of little weird coincidences. Weird. But I mean,
Building 7 as well, apparently. They're saying that should have fallen down, but it, you know, had a controlled demolition, and they're saying that potentially, you know, those charges were already in place.
But jet fuel doesn't melt.
No, the jet fuel that doesn't melt steel beams, isn't there? There's a building just by that was right by the World Trade Center called Building 7, and basically they did a controlled demolition. But allegedly, to do a controlled demolition, you need to put the charges in place over a few weeks, whereas this was done in the afternoon. Like, oh yeah, you know, we'll just do it and it's done. But that's all alleged.
To be fair, you know, I'm not going to endorse him, but he would be quite a fun future podcast guest. Alex Jones did call it. Like, I don't know if you've seen the clip from like...
Why is turning the frogs gay?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think it was like 90... It was either like 1999 or 2000. Like, he specifically said that they were going to blow up the World Trade Center and make it look like it was... He literally names Bin Laden as well. It's quite like... I mean, fair, you were on the money. It's like throwing off shit against the wall. Some of it sticks, maybe. But I just thought it's just quite mad that like... I mean, he got that one. Maybe not the frogs, but...
No, I mean, but apparently frogs are changing gender. But,
again, we can't endorse him. We can't endorse him because he... No. Didn't he say... he said one of the school shootings, they were actors.
Yeah, Sandy Hook. Yeah,
I don't know about that one. Great. But the 9/11 one, he may have got right.
So, did you ever see the episode with... it was like Joe Rogan spoke about on his podcast, where it was him, Joey Diaz and Alex Jones.
That's a fun room.
Alex Jones was saying, "It's like, so this is on the internet. You can say what you want, really." And apparently, like Joey Diaz just went to town. It's like he talked about how he was saying stuff. He's saying, actually, I'm saying cursing is apparently worse than terrorism because Joey Diaz just kept dropping fuck in every single opportunity he could. I love Joey Diaz. He's so funny.
Yeah, he's a funny guy.
Yeah, but yeah. But anyway. I was just wondering what you boys' favourite conspiracy theory was, because mine...
Oh, also...
I could do a whole episode on conspiracy theories, quite happily.
Yeah, this could be a bit of a conspiracy. I also kind of think, like, all sports... sports is riddled with PEDs. Like, riddled.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no, I reckon they're all on it. And I'm all for it, by the way. Like, I think it would be better to... I'd rather watch players get faster and more ridiculous and get less injuries. I'm fine with that, but...
Yeah.
I mean, as long as they're all on it, if that makes sense. Like, it needs to be an even playing field.
Yeah.
But I reckon it is, like, just rife.
Yeah. Do you, on a Sunday, would you drop them in? Just put them in your cornflakes?
Oh, mate, if PDs were on the table, I'd scrant them, yeah. Like, you're just going to be fired up for whatever you're doing.
Oh, mate, it's been nuts. You're right, at times. We're just doing a podcast today, mate. Can you relax?
It's like the whole inhalers theory, wasn't there? There was all this.
Liverpool inhalers.
I mean, 70% of their squad in asthma is just mad, isn't it?
Yeah, UEFA loaner. That's been proven to be right as well.
Yeah, that's not even a conspiracy anymore.
No, exactly. And then obviously we've got all the stuff with VAR at the moment.
Liverpool. Or live no VAR pool at the moment.
Yeah. I do have a bit of another conspiracy. I don't know if they're purposely as shit as they are, the English officials. Maybe I'm giving them too much credit in saying that they're smarter than they are, but
they're just thick as
there is a little part of me that thinks though the Premier League is superior in terms of what it brings because of the drama as well. And so they want these shit refs.
Potentially, but there's shit refs and there's just, you know.
Like maybe they're just naturally shit, but they purposely go, let's pick some shitters.
It's true. But yeah, we could talk about that another time.
Yeah, sorry.
I feel like VAR conspiracy theories. I think those are Twitter space conversations. I feel like
could be an international break conversation.
Exactly, yeah. Could do those. Could do that. Could just be, we're not even going to talk about the football. We're just going to talk about our favourite conspiracy theories because this is a Chelsea podcast that barely talks about Chelsea. But apart from that, we will actually start talking about Chelsea. As you can tell in the room, we do have Tom. We do have Tobes. We do have the sexiest man in football, which is myself, of course. But I'm just going to go through Tom's script right now. His question is, we're back, and he's put...
That's last week, mate.
No, that's episode, that Burnley preview before another IB.
That's
I'm
this
reading
week,
it.
Mate.
That's, I know.
Two episodes in a row with we're back.
Yeah, can I?
You can.
Thank you.
Proceed.
So I've got, we're back, open bracket, stronger, close bracket. Are we really going to do this? Are we really going to take him on?
Take what? Who on? It's our fucking slogan, isn't it?
Fuck's sake. And ready for Burnley for a third win on the spin. We've been here before with two wins and that did not go so well after Luton and Wimbledon. So let's hope that this can continue and we need to keep that momentum going before international breakage.
Again, for fuck's sake.
I know. It's really annoying. Like, just as we're getting in a rhythm, just everything's going, and I'm just talking about Chelsea.
Well, podcast. Let's see. I want it to be the first international break in a long time that I've thought, oh no, I was enjoying us. I feel like every international break for about a year, I've gone, thank fuck for that. No, the Chelsea, World Cup, do you know how nice it was? The World Cup, it was like, oh good, we don't have to watch us for about a month and a half. Fucking hell.
It was ripping that Newcastle game, just ripping it off like a plaster when it was like, okay, that's done, right, we can move on now.
And it had been Arsenal and Brighton the weeks before that. It was like, oh, thank God we're not on. So yeah, I'm hoping we're going in going, oh fuck, we were so good against Burnley and we built on that. I'm ready for Arsenal now. Yeah. That's what I want to be going into this international break thinking.
Yeah. I get that. I do think that we said this in the last two episodes. No, we won against Brighton. Okay, let's go against Fulham and build some momentum. We won against Fulham. Now let's build some momentum and go against Burnley. You know,
one game at a time.
Exactly.
Cliche, but it's true.
Exactly. One game at a time. It's still 0-0. You know, as many analogies as you can get. Don't let it bounce. It's my favourite one. That's what I used to yell.
Bouncy, da, da, da.
Peter Drury ruined that for me. I stand by it. But yeah, anyway, I think it's going to be very interesting to see how everything goes. Tom, I want to delve into your thing here where you said we've been here before with two wins that did not go well after Luton and Wimbledon. Can you elaborate on that, please?
Yes, I can elaborate on this. We played three games after those, which were against Nottingham Forest, then it was Bournemouth, and then it was Villa. Now, I said, quite like 9 points out of them, or at least seven, to give Villa some credit. And we got 1 point, and we scored zero goals in that time. We lost 1-0 to Forest, 0-0 at Bournemouth, and then lost 1-0 again against Villa. So that's what I mean by we've been in this position before, and this is how far we've fallen as a club, that we are getting two wins, one cup win and one Premier League win, and we're going, oh, here we go, let's get a third win and get excited, and then we all come tumbling down. But, you know, as I said last week in the Fulham review, I'm generally optimistic, and that's why I'm saying, you know, we can go on a little run here, which is we haven't had for a while. But yeah, not good last time. Let's go into this international break, as just discussed, feeling positive and ready for the Gunners.
Why are you? I mean, international break's gonna be interesting because I don't know what I'm gonna do in my time.
Wank.
Use a milk and table. Essentially.
Yeah,
might just invest in one myself.
Invest.
See Gary. Oh no, Gary's Arsenal. That's the Arsenal day.
Sorry, I misheard that completely.
I said probably see Gary, and then I realised that night that's organised is on the Arsenal game anyway.
Yeah, I'm going to see Gary regardless though because I love Gary. Like he's
not
great,
Shaggy mate.
Yeah,
never know.
Who knows? Point.
Life is full of surprises.
So is Hayes.
Anyway, with that, let's move into the Burnley game. And obviously they've got their first win of the season. We were just finished recording, hadn't we? It was like the
we were just
the
about
afternoon.
To record before their game yeah. against Luton.
1-2-1. So they finally got their first win. They're off the mark in the Premier League this year. Yep. And they
takes the pressure off a bit for our game.
That's what you said. You said you wanted them to win when they did.
They've lost five of the games and they also drew.
They've had tough fixtures, to be fair to them. I think they've played City, United, Spurs, Villa. Like they haven't had for a newly promoted side, you're not gonna ask for much worse schedules, really. And now us. So
to be fair, obviously later on in the show we are gonna be talking to Vizza. I had a lovely chat with him earlier today. He did enlighten us.
The Burnley equivalent of Lee here.
Yeah.
Not really.
They just spoke the whole time about Italian and Polish delicacies.
About Matty Cash and other pretend Polish people around the
and
world.
And Jorginho. Yeah.
I can just tell the way you two looked at each other then, you were planning that. You were walking down Wembley Way scheming.
We're in sync. It was like the...
It's like Lee was... That was an in sync thing.
It was like the Joao Felix. Yeah, it was like the Joao Felix moment.
We're in sync, mate.
Chelsea, you know, we're building chemistry.
Yeah.
God. That's my idea of hell. Don't mind. I don't know if I can deal with that.
Chelsea building chemistry or us being in sync or both?
You two being in sync. Get in a sink. Get in a sink and never come out.
I could probably fit in a sink. Or like a small bath.
Those are rare.
So basically, you're saying like you like as a baby, like were you like
no,
you
I was
still
I was I was using some self-deprecating humour because I'm not a very tall man.
It's true. What it makes up for.
I'm only joking, ladies. I'm fucking huge.
Yeah, no, he's actually.
There's loads of women listening to our pod.
Loads. I'd actually be interested to know what the demographics are because you can't actually.
There's not one woman listening to our pod.
That's true.
There's no chance.
I don't know.
And if you are, let us know.
Yeah, Tom's getting very lonely.
Not from that reason. No,
it's fine.
I'm very happily single, thank you.
I think. Do you know what? I reckon Tom, like, and if it was the 1980s, he'd definitely be that guy that does the video dating. I like to have fun.
This isn't conspiracy theory, but we're on that track. Have you seen that guy? Who was on a dating show in the 70s.
The serial killer. Yeah,
Was insane. And he like asks questions, and he's like, he's proper weird. Really, really weird, you watch it back and it's just like quite fucked knowing that like who he was.
Yeah, they caught him because they only caught him because they saw him on the show, didn't they?
Yeah, and the girl was organised to go on the date with him and like pulled out because she was like, I got a weird vibe from that guy. I was like, no, he seems like a rogue.
Always trust your gut.
And she got it right.
Well, there was one girl she wanted a date with Ted Bundy, and the only reason he didn't get her was so he followed her home. Apparently, was in the bush outside her house, wasn't sure her brother went out. And caught him as you run away. It's insane.
But yeah, that is insane.
Serial killers are weird and horrible.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Shudders.
Yes, they are weird.
But anyway, speaking of other horrible places, Burnley.
What a weird place. It's like stepping out the TARDIS at Burnley, I was thinking.
I
loved it, but it was like I was in the 1800s. I was just like, wow, this looks different to London.
Yeah, I think it was it's one of the first aways I did with 100% Chelsea was Burnley away. And we did it when it was that. Do you remember where that was like the snowstorm in 2017, like January? We went there with -15 in the snow watching Chelsea get a 1-1 draw. Robbie Brady scored a free kick.
Pedro scored,
I think, as well. And then Robbie Brady banged in a free kick at the other end. It's probably the coldest I've ever been. It was absolutely horrendous.
It's a good way in, though. It's a really good way in. And you got that cricket. You got the cricket.
That's it.
Away day bit.
I think it was the season after. The Surrey season. We had them right at the end of the season when nothing really mattered. So literally, I remember that you went in the cricket club and you had Burnley fans on one end, Chelsea fans on the other, and you had in the middle on the cricket pitch just a load of kids playing football. And then you literally just had chants going over these kids.
It's like that scene in Football Factory.
Yeah.
It literally was. Yeah. It's like, go on, yes! Like having this like whole thing going on. And it was really good. And also, one thing about Burnley, cracking pies.
I did have a pie. I was there when just as Roman was getting sanctioned, when we won 4-0. That was a nice day out. Mm. That was a really nice day out. Reece scored a good goal. But Lee Havertz scored, so you know it was a good day. But yeah, I remember we were on the train home reading articles about how we sung about our owner, how we should be, I don't know, strip points for doing that. But yeah,
you're going this week, aren't you? You got
no, I can't go now because the train's all fucked.
Oh, that's
my car's fucked anyway. So
that's fair.
I'll let him know to just set it.
Oh, that's a shame.
It is a shame. But it is what it is.
It is
what
it is. Game's a game, as people say.
Yeah. Like the game. Hopefully I miss a good one.
Yeah, we'll see. But it's like the game against Burnley. I'm having a great time with these today. Reading these notes, Vince Kompany gets them playing very open football, apparently, according to Tom. They won't sit back. I also heard that from Liam as well. Stop it. I can see. I don't know. No. Little grins at the corner. Okay.
Getting paranoid, well, mate.
I'm just watching you.
Yeah, mate, you're pranging out. What is going on here?
That is a tune. Yes, they've conceded 16 goals, second worst in the league, and only ahead of Sheffield United, which I don't think is very hard after losing 8-0 to Newcastle.
And Sheffield United, by the way, conceded 18, so they're only two ahead of them, even though Sheffield really? Shipped 8.
Wow.
But they have, as Tobe said, they have had some hard games. Yeah, and they did only lose 1-0 to United, although losing to United at the moment is...
But it was a bit of magic from Bruno. Other than that, Burnley were the better side, I thought, in that.
Yeah. Shite, you know. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how United do for us. But do you want to hear our thoughts on Manchester United, considering we're not playing them? Tom, where can people find our thoughts on that?
Ah, yes. I was actually going to do that myself. So, yes, you'll listen to this on Friday.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, if you don't know the days of the week, is Saturday, where the Premier League resumes again for the last time before the international break. And we have our second episode of Spoilers / Predictions. There was only one spoiler last week, and that was me. So if you want to hear our predictions for Manchester United's next challenge, which is against Brentford at Old Trafford, let us know. Let us know what you think.
Interesting. We'll figure it out when it comes down to that. This chair needs some oiling. I'm more slightly worried. It's a bit...
Chair.
Bit creaky. Table. It's not the milking table.
Yeah,
he's put that one away.
No, still takes up too much.
Like we are on the weekend. We're going to put four away.
Yes,
Chelsea.
Look at that! This is transition central today.
Yeah,
what we're basically
these segues.
Oh, it's unbelievable. We're like TFL on a really good day, which never happens.
I was thinking of a different transition.
We're the anti TFL.
We're the anti TFL. Yeah, that sounds a little bit too much like, you know, I don't know, terrorist group. It's like, I don't know.
Nothing wrong with that. Could be a good terrorist group. Might be bombing bad people.
That's what they all say.
This is also true. Yeah, I don't know. Probably don't.
Good and bad is subjective.
Oh,
it is.
Dear.
Yeah. Anyway. Villains to some, heroes to others.
Yeah. Should we move on? Maybe.
Yeah. I'm not.
Terrorism.
I'm not a supporter of any of that. By the way, yeah. Just to clarify, that
was
a joke.
Tobes keep digging there again. After I can't remember what last week. Oh, it was the mum thing a couple of weeks ago that you kept digging.
Oh yeah.
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 Quite enjoy it. Just stirring the pot and making you dig further. It's quite
good fun.
And it Tobes sometimes, I like when he realises when he goes too far, because then you can see the eyes whirring as he's trying to
get
out.
You can see the cogs are whirring, because I'm like, how am I going to get out of this one? it's like the Riddler, but I riddle myself. It's like a challenge. It's like, how am I going to get away with this?
As you turn around and go, for just literally just change it completely, just turn around and go, ooh, up the Ross. I'm like, all right, mate, relax. What are you doing? What's going on? Let's move on back from that and let's go have a chat with Liam as he gives his lowdown on Burnley and his thoughts on Chelsea. What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Chelsea Echo. Welcome to your opposition preview, Burnley. And there's only one man I could get. It's that Burnley man. He's grown up now, no longer obsessed with Dean Marnie, but making fantastic little football docs on YouTube. But you know what? Little's an understatement. They're just fucking great. I love them. I watched the... I watched one yesterday as well about Jadon Sancho. I thought that was really good. Really balanced, mate. Really good. It's good to have you on. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome visitors to the show. Yay!
What an introduction. I appreciate it. I imagine that you didn't watch my Chelsea one, by any chance.
I did, but I haven't watched it all the way through, so I wasn't going to mention it. I was kind of thinking I'm going to watch it through once more. But, I mean, to be fair, you know, you did consult me beforehand, so I do believe it's going to be fairly balanced. But, you know, we'll have to watch it through at some point.
Depends how biased you are.
Okay.
And your kind of mental state. I think if you guys win another game, like if you guys win this weekend, then maybe you can watch it and be completely fine. But if you're doing quite poorly still, then maybe it may be a bit salty. So we'll see after this weekend.
Okay, right. With that then, if that's what you obviously you've mentioned that, so people are going to go and hopefully watch it. Talk me through it. What are your thoughts on Chelsea currently?
Honestly, I find it to be everyone knows that it's a complete mess. And you like to think that it's at least organised chaos in some sense. And to a sense it is. And I think they've done some things which I agree with, like for example, get rid of quite a lot of deadwood. That was necessary at the time. But there's just the complete imbalance for how they seem to be planning the future of the club. And it is literally all about the future and just kind of banking on that more than the here and now. And when you look at a team, you've got one, maybe two leaders on that team that's got somewhat experience of playing at a top level. And the rest is all a bunch of young players that undeniably are incredibly talented. You've got some incredible talented players, but you throw a bunch of them in one team and it's going to take time to hope that they swim and they don't drown. Sink or swim for a lot of your players. And two or three may come out of it, and they may come out of it with shining colours, and they're going to be top elite level players. But my main concern is players that would be amazing players for you in the future may completely fall apart before they even get a chance. And that's my main concern with Chelsea. Again, incredible talented players you guys have brought in. We know that they've got talent. However, if they are not given kind of the opportunity to make a mistake and just be thrown straight into the deep end, I think that can cause a lot more damage than good.
Okay, so what examples of those players do you feel are the case? Obviously, there's I think the one for me which definitely stands out as will be world-class regardless is Enzo Fernandez. I think he's a great example of it. Moise Caicedo seems to be finding his feet. But for you, I mean, who are those players you worried that you don't think are going to be getting the opportunities and probably will drown rather than, you know, swim in the scenario?
I think Madueke is probably the best example that I can give in terms of I have no idea why he's gone to your football club. Especially, I mean, in that time period, maybe there's more of a chance, but you guys got so many different wingers in your club that I don't know why would any winger go to Chelsea right now, because you're not guaranteed game time. And if you... I just find it... You're not Man City. Like, Man City makes sense because it's elite top quality with a core foundation set in place. So they can rotate and it kind of makes no difference. But you aren't in a stage to rotate. You guys don't know your best team. You guys have no idea what your best team is and just trying to figure out where players can go to. And in my opinion, your philosophy is sign a bunch of nice, talented, trendy players first and then trying to work out what to do with them next. That's the way that I see it, that it's almost like buy player, then what do we do with them? And then hopefully they fit in and hopefully they don't just collapse immediately. And I mean, I'm looking at your team now. Again, very young team. We all know that. And that's what makes it exciting. And of course, to be a Chelsea fan right now, it must be quite confusing because you guys are known to winning things immediately. Non-stop success in almost every competition. Even when you guys are seen to be in a banter era, you guys win the league the next year. I mean, we already know what happened back in 14-15, won the league. 15-16, were you 8th or 10th? And then the next year, you won the league again. So it's like Chelsea is set in stone of winning silverware. Even if you aren't doing that well, for example, when you had Tuchel, you lost back-to-back cup finals, I think both on penalties against Liverpool, but you still made it there when in that year you weren't really the best, but you still made it work. And of course, even when you won the Champions League, no one thought you'd win it. No one thought you stood any chance there. Didn't you knock out Real Madrid to get there as well? No one thought that, but you did it. Same thing back in 11-12 when you won the first Champions League. That's the Chelsea way, that you win things despite all the odds. And that's because you got set foundation of some very key players that's been there and done that. And you've gone down a different route. Of course, that's Todd Bowley, different philosophy. He wants to put a stamp on it. I get that. However, there's some players there that was like, God, I thought, is that really needed right now? And if you were, you got to replace that. And you've replaced it with youth and potential, then experience.
That's fair enough. I mean, I do see that perspective. I have a foot in that camp, but I'm trying to be open-minded. As Tobes and Tom will testify, I am a bit of a negative Nelly. So, you know, I do see where you're coming from there. Personally, I do agree. I think that there should be maybe a few senior figures just within that squad. Maybe not players that will start, but other than Thiago Silva, you need somebody who has been there and done it. But who knows? Maybe they might adjust that for the next couple of transfer windows. So we'll have to see what happens with that. But I do see that perspective. But then again, also, I mean, Burnley, they've been through a hell of a culture shift as well. I think it's fair to say. You know, we've gone from Sean Dyche in the your ownership has changed, hasn't it? Finally, correct me if I'm wrong, but you did get sold to the Americans, and that's all gone through now, right?
I mean, that was that was put in place the pretty much the year before we went down the first, well, back in 21-22. So, and their first full season was the year that we went down, but we signed, at that stage, it was already too late. Like, we already had so many years of just no funding put into the team. Our previous ownership, they basically put no money in for the sake of they knew they were going to sell, so no point putting money in if they know they want to sell it. So the damage was already done, and despite saying you're buying some good players, Cornet for example, Vegas should have been a good player but wasn't out in the end, Nathan Collins turned a pretty penny, the damage was already done. So yeah, our ownership has completely turned Burnley on its head, and the philosophy and the mentality of the club and how it's seen to the outside world, and that is on the pitch and off the pitch.
Okay, well, walk me through it. So obviously JJ Watt is a massive Chelsea fan. He's now obviously investing in Burnley. And obviously you've got some Vincent Kompany after Sean Dyche, which I think that was one of the biggest culture shifts I think everyone expected. I mean, I went to a game with you last year, went to the QPR game, which was probably one of your best games of the season. You could just see a completely different Burnley compared to what everyone recognised. What is the culture shift? What should people expect? Because Burnley isn't Burnley anymore, I guess, as people would expect it to be.
It's not. It's completely different. And I mean, I'm sure at this stage, people have seen Burnley play and they know that we're not Sean Dyche Burnley anymore. I would hope so at this stage. But I mean, the biggest shift is simply the fact that, I mean, the first thing you're going to see is the fact that we take corners short now, which is probably the most drastic change. If you look back to a Sean Dyche Burnley, it's like that's almost seen as like that's just... It's almost a crime to even think about that. But yeah, ball playing, centre horse, passing out from the back, modern football, tricky wingers that can take a man on with pace and flair. And you've got a very tidy midfield that can just... I mean, well, our midfield is probably at this stage in the Premier League is probably a bit of a different shift compared to the Championship in quality. But... our philosophy is still the same from the Championship to Premier League. The fact that we're going to try and pass up from the back, be brave on the ball, because we do have quality. Our only issue is because of, similar to you, our inexperience, our youth, our, you know, our belief in our ability can lack at times if we don't. If a game doesn't go our way early on, you can see it start draining out. And that's the main problem that we've had this year, is that no matter who we play, the City at home or Spurs or Villa, We are going to try to outplay you. We went to Newcastle passing out from the back. Newcastle at St. James Park playing out from the back. And for the most part, it was actually not that bad. However, we made two mistakes and then we concede two goals. And we can do that in a Championship and make a mistake. And if you're against Rotherham or Hull, you're not going to be punished that often. But you do it against Villa when they got Ollie Watkins, or Spurs when they got Maddison. You can watch those games back. All their goals were on the transition for the most part. And was... when we commit so many players forward by how we want to play, that's our biggest weakness. And with Chelsea and your pace compared to all the other teams is where that is where the game will be won for this weekend. Because that is one big problem that we have. The fact that we've got ability, but we always do make a mistake. And in this league, you're going to get caught out and you will be punished.
So with that then, I mean, that sounds very similar to... obviously, a couple of years ago, I'd speak to Chris Reeve and talk Norwich City, and he'd talk about, you know, how Daniel Farke's Norwich, that obviously down in the Championship, play the ball about for fun, that then comes to Premier League and tries to do it again, and it's just not something that works. Is it maybe a case of Vincent Kompany maybe hasn't identified that yet? Or obviously, he probably has, but you know, is he going to want to adjust it, for example? Like, can you still play the ball out from the back, but do you think he might go against Chelsea and sort of look at the situation and go, right, this side cannot get through a low block. We're going to sit deeper and hit more on the counter. You know, has he shown that he maybe does have a plan B, or is it very much a case of going, it's my way or the highway, and you play with Vincent Kompany?
I've not really seen much of a plan B in terms of we want to outplay teams. We want to have the ball and we want to get the ball out to our wingers, take a man on and try to get something to happen. The only issue is at times in games, for example, second half against Man United at home, or pretty much the main vast majority of that Newcastle game, the link between the defence and the midfield to actually get it up to our attackers is the main problem. If you can press us well and you can stop us passing up from the back, then we can't really hurt you that much, because we're not going to really hoof it up, because even though we've got pace, we've not got much strength and power. So if you can stop us passing out, then that's going to be you having a large control of the game. And that's how teams have set up against us. Now, the thing is with Burnley is the fact that we can probably play that way against teams around us. If it's Forest in that away game, we should have won that game. We got a goal completely ruled out unfairly. And Forest scored from an incredible goal by, of course, one of your own boys, Hudson-Odoi. Fantastic goal. And we were the better team in that game. Probably should have won that game. And really, keep in mind, yes, we are 18th right now. But if you look for our fixtures, they're very tough fixtures. Of course, that doesn't write off the fact that you should be getting more points, you know, at home. But it makes some sort of sense, right? You know, City, Villa, Spurs, United, Newcastle. All those five games are all five losses. It's not amazing, but at least it makes some sort of sense. And then when you look at, okay, the games that you have a chance, have we done better? Forest away, got a point, should have got all three, and Luton away, we got all 3 points. So the only two games that we fought on paper, that is a fairer game. We stand more of a chance. We've got results from it. So I'm going into this thinking, I mean, there's always a hope that we can get results against Chelsea, especially that you guys have been in pretty poor form until the last game against Fulham. You'd think that there's a chance here. However, I won't freak out if we lose this game. Like, for me, our season is not dependent on beating Chelsea. Even though I would like to get more points against these bigger sides, because that's half the table. That's just, I think, the reality of what we're doing this season. So, not much will change. We're going to try to outplay and outpass Chelsea. And we're going to press you high, and we're going to see what happens. And it could be I could expect this being a thriller in terms of like a high scoring game for some reason, because
from us, really.
Mate, honestly, like, your transition, I mean, I just see the pace and the quality in your team. You've got pace, you've got quality, you are the type of team that I would be concerned of, and you've not got probably the best, I don't know, like, you've not been awful defensively, that's the thing, from my knowledge. You've not been awful defensively. It's just, like, you've not conceded many goals this year, have you?
No, we're not really.
And we've not really scored many goals. We've not really scored many goals, but there's always an outlier. And I could just imagine it's just being a game that it just kicks off and it's like a 3-2 or something.
So the one thing I've noticed on this is me and you've known each other for a few years now. You know, I'd say we know each other pretty well. And the way you're talking about Chelsea today, especially, I mean, normally it's kind of very much a case of, it's Chelsea, we're going to lose, we're going to move on. With this, you feel like, you've just said that, you know, it might be a bit of an outlier. Do you not fear Chelsea as much as you used to? Do you think Chelsea have lost that X factor a little bit?
Not as a club, but as of right now in your form, there's more of a chance, I believe, right now. But of course, I mean, you've come to Turf and you've smashed us before. I think it was 4-0 the last time we played you at home. So, you know, I'm not going into this thinking that Chelsea are a poor team or anything like that. You guys are in a bit of a poor form, poor dip right now. You have just won a game, of course, away from home against Fulham. A good performance as well. So, things may be on the up from here. By no means am I, like, not scared of Chelsea in terms of them as a football club. Just right now, you feel like this is a better time to play you guys than most other times. So, yeah, no disrespect from my side.
No, of course. Oh, no, it's not disrespect from the slightest, because I do feel Chelsea have lost that fear factor. It's not the same club it used to be. But, you know, having said that, obviously coming up against Burnley, like I said, last year, I was very fortunate to, you know, come with you to watch a game, and you guys, the talent that was on display in comparison to the same players in the Premier League the year before was ridiculous. You know, I still remember very vividly Josh Brownhill on the halfway line, on the half turn, knocking a ball on the volley to get an assist. You know, it's like just playing it long, but on the half volley. It's like, what the hell? Like, that's insane. Who are the players that, when we come up against you guys this weekend, we should be fearing, we should be watching out for, that could cause us problems?
I mean, the main one right now that we got last year, however, there was a few doubters, but he started this year fantastically, which we're all happy about, is, of course, Lyle Foster, which, when he was out on a suspension, you kind of felt him, just his energy. He's basically, if he was to go on FIFA and almost create like a pro striker with all the perfect attributes, probably would be him, in terms of, he's got a good balance of the perfect mentality, work rate, he's got speed, he's got some strength to him as well. And the main thing is that he just will not stop running. He is the perfect like mentality like that you'd want for a team in that position. Only issue is that we're waiting for that click for him to come into place, that kind of final ball, that final shot, and it's working more this year, and hopefully that continues. So he will be the main one that will just be constantly pressing and looking for an out ball focal point up top. He has the strength to hold up the ball and to keep it moving and put it out wide for the wingers to take a man on. So it'd be him if something were to happen to be involving him. I also love Amdouni too, but I don't know if he'd be playing as a wide player or number 10, but I love Zeki Amdouni. I think that he's also a fantastic player. He has had some chances to put the ball back in net, but hasn't as much this year. But you can tell just the way that he takes the ball in his stride and just glides through players at times that I've never really seen at Burnley or too much. It's in a different way. Like, if you're a winger, it's a bit different to when you're in the centre of the park, and he just has a very good awareness of his surroundings. So yeah, I like those two a lot. They're good players, they're great players. And yeah, if anything will happen, it'd be involving those two, like, most definitely.
Interesting. We'll have to see what happens. But yeah, man, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a good game. I know Tobes is going. I'm still trying to get a ticket, so we'll have to see what happens. But obviously, international breaks afterwards, and you know, maybe I'll come see you. We'll have to see. I'll be nice. I know I might come out and see you out in Poland. It'd be quite nice. Obviously, we've been chatting about it. Big first thing as well. Congratulations on your daughter being born as well. Second one. Don't know how you're doing it. It's nuts.
I don't know either. life is not meant to be easy. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's always meant to be fun. Fun and games. So, always keeping busy. But yeah, I mean, like, with this game this weekend, like, it'd be nice to bounce after our win against Luton and to get a result against Chelsea. And I would be happy with a draw right now. I think a draw would be nice. I hope that if it's similar to your Bournemouth away game, then I'll be okay with that. I can imagine you guys having a lot of chances, and it's just if you guys can take it, and we will have some chances, and we probably won't take it too. So yeah, probably no. So I've said it'd be also. That's the thing. I don't think there's any in between. It's either going to be a 0-0 or 3-3. Like, for me, like, there's no in between here. Like, either everything clicks or nothing clicks. Because that's kind of been the story of our season so far.
Mm. Yeah, no, that sounds about right for us as well. We'll have to see. I'm just taking each game as it comes. But I'll drop you a text after the game and we'll have a chat and see what happens. But guys, before we finish up, obviously, with Liam, please do make sure you go check out Mazala as well. Some fantastic prints. Which I'm hopefully going to be picking one up myself after this call. Lots of Chelsea stuff, lots of obviously fantastic players in prints as well, and you can get some great goals on there as well. But
I do apologise for there's a Kai Havertz feet City on there right now, which makes sense, but I don't know if that would be very popular anymore.
I've got that goal up on my wall, mate. It's the goal that won the Champions League. I'm not too fussed about him anymore. I don't really care. He's gone to Arsenal. He's doing crap, and we kind of all expected it. But I'll have to see. Mate, thank you very much for coming on, and I'll have a chat with you after the game.
Thank you very much, and I hope you lose.
Anyway, that was Liam's thoughts on Burnley, a little bit on Chelsea. As you can tell, it's recorded before Tobes, and thought he's not going to the game, because at the end we talked about that. We didn't speak about Poland or Italy once, thank you very much, at all.
Because you're not definitely Polish or did. Italian, so yeah. Why would you?
We didn't do that, but I mean,
he's one shit barber joke away from getting really angry, and yeah, I can't. It's coming.
He's swinging punches.
I'm swinging punches,
mate. The fact you're calling me a shit barber. Listen,
I didn't call you a shit
barber. All I'm saying is,
no, the reviews say that.
You've nibbled so hard on me not even saying anything.
Yeah, just for the listeners, I'm getting some daggers. I'm getting some daggers for, just listing what Trustpilot says. It's not really my fault, is it? Jesus. The silence is deafening from Lee Smith.
All I'm saying is, if you need someone to help you with your research papers, do not come to Tobes, because he is absolutely shocking at it. If you want to talk about Trustpilot, I looked up some of his reviews. Shocking.
I don't know what it is.
I think that's about your tutoring.
Oh, right. Yeah. I'm not doing research.
I don't know, same shit, different day.
What research papers?
I'm not a uni lecturer.
Isn't an American
college. I don't give a fuck, okay? It doesn't matter. It's completely pointless.
And there it is. There's 20 minutes, ladies and gents. Nibble Central.
Because all you do is I just get bullied every week and I don't like it. It's mean. I have feelings too, you know.
Yep.
Men can be sad.
Yep.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. But you're not really sad. You're just sort of nibbling, which is why we carry on.
Anyway.
That was good.
We're having some trouble with Chelsea selection. We were talking about this, obviously, in the review after
good,
the previous game.
Good way, though.
It's good, yeah, exactly. It's nice to be in that position.
No more injuries. Exactly. That we feared. They've all been announced as... Well, no, not announced. They're in training. Reece James are in training today. You'd love to see it.
He won't be playing, though.
He won't, because he's got a ban.
He got, I love it. He's got a ban. It's like, it's the way it's like... He's been banned for calling out a poor decision. It's like... Was it? He got banned because...
So, oh, is Klopp getting banned, then?
Oh, no.
It was his replay.
Can I just, this is exactly what... When you said the other day, it's like, oh, you know, I can see it. I think it's a good idea they're doing
no,
it.
No, no, I like that they... I also acknowledge that, like, it doesn't need to... go further than that, but I like that they called it out because I think other clubs should call it out.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but then they called
it
out.
No, he went too far going, like,
yeah, exactly.
Oh, I think we should have a replay.
But this is what this. But that's what Liverpool always do. They always need to take it too far. Yeah. Everything's like, what was it they were saying that Jordan Pickford should get arrested when he injured Virgil van Dijk by accident?
Oh, it's funny how all of a sudden now it's a big problem now they've had a decision against them. The magnifying glass that the media have put on Liverpool with it happening to them, they're like, well, no one gave a shit a few weeks ago. Mike Dean literally admitted to corruption with Cucurella. He quite literally admitted that, and a man lost his job and it sent us in a spiral, and no one gave a fuck.
That's it. And it's the same
one. No one cared.
Literally, was it when there was the other thing that came out, the Italian media about it, when they were talking about Roma? So Roma in the semi-final had two decisions against them, which they should have gone their way with Liverpool. And then when Liverpool were asked about Virgil van Dijk, went, oh, yeah, who cares? I'm like, oh, change the tune now, mate, don't you? So congratulations, Chelsea Football Club, Carabao Cup champions, 2022.
Yeah, I don't remember Klopp talking about Lukaku's goal that was onside or Trev's knob being broken in half. I don't remember him bringing that up.
No.
And asking for replays, but maybe I'm wrong.
Replays and a new knob.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's go to Turkey for that.
Do they do knobs as well?
Probably do it. Probably. They do everything probably.
Oh, yeah, they do. Trust me, my research paper was on this.
That's why you've got such a low trust point.
Yeah,
right,
mate, yeah. I hope they do height ones too soon.
You wear lifts already. You don't need them. Nah. Anyway, but yeah, it's bottom line, I think it's with us, back to the game anyway, the fact that we're having these worries about selection is good.
Yep.
I like that. Malo Gusto is still unavailable, or is he back now?
It was a three-game ban, wasn't it?
He is Unav.
Yeah. So unavailable. Unavailable.
Sorry, who's that? But yeah, you know, Unav.
He's on your right back. Unav.
Unav signed from
Unav.
Some kid.
Unav Ailable.
Some Turkish fellow we signed.
Unav Ailable.
Unav
Ailable does dick transplants now.
My friend, penis extender, €20. Come here, thank you.
€20.
Who's that? Peter Kay.
Do you know what?
I'll take that.
That's a good Peter Kay to be fair.
Peter Kay. I don't know. Peter Kay was Turkish, but
very nice.
Tom's just in pieces.
Yeah,
but yeah, Cucurella right back again. My right back at the moment. My third right back, but my third right back, I'm not as scared of. I'm not as fearful of watching Cucurella as I was.
I'm just looking at Tom,
time.
Waiting for his thoughts on this.
He can play until Reece James or Gusto.
Yeah.
Back,
oh no, I'm not sitting there saying he displaces anyone, but no. He gives me a bit more confidence than I thought he would give me.
I agree. And against Burnley, he should be all right.
Mm.
But I still think against a better team, i.e. Arsenal.
Oh, God. Yeah, thank fuck.
I would not want him at right back.
Thank God those two are back for that.
Would you throw Reece in at the deep end for that one, though?
Yeah. Mm. I want him right in front of Arsenal like I did a couple of years ago, just giving it.
Not sure.
Giving it large.
Not sure, maybe.
If he's training now and he's got 2 weeks in the international break.
It's not game speed. It won't be game speed, will it?
Yeah, but it's Reece James.
And
is Malo Gusto going to be game speed when he's had 2-3 weeks out?
Yeah, but he's not been injured. It's a difference.
Yeah, no,
I think with Reece, we need to be careful because if he gets another injury, he's up for another couple of months.
As much as I love Reece, I do think it's time to not get injured.
Yeah, which is why we need to be careful.
I hear that. And also, Malo Gusto was good and he shouldn't have been sent off anyway. But
yeah,
we've finally got a right back, but we don't have to risk Reece.
That's true. I miss him. I do miss watching him.
I miss Reece James.
Yeah, I'm not saying I don't want him to play. No, obviously, I do. But I want him to be back. Not, oh, I'm back for half an hour. Look really good, and then
for 60 minutes, we're always amazing.
Gone.
Reece James.
My knee's gone.
Yeah. I mean, with those selection bases, though, you've got Caicedo. We've got Caicedo, Mudryk potentially. Caicedo seems to just be in pack. Seems to be fine.
They're both training.
Mudryk's back in training as well, so that's all good.
So that raises the question of does a certain Raheem Sterling getting back in the team? Because, it, I mean, he's obviously had that game.
I think all the lads on Monday earned their place. The only one you could argue with is maybe Jackson, just because he kind of earned his place against Brighton. But I think everyone has earned their place.
But then I thought Breuer looked better. I think you see it how he played better.
No, that's fine. That's what I'm saying. I'm happy to leave it unchanged. Those lads smashed it in the Premier League.
That's cool. The big debate, Breuer or Jackson, really. I mean, obviously, you know, Palmer or Raheem, or if Sterling was genuinely ill, then would he make it back in the team? I don't know. It's a good position to have, because I think then if you've got Sterling and Jackson coming off the bench as well, there's pretty good players coming off the bench with obviously the other ones we have. Well, yeah, feeling pretty good. But yeah, I wouldn't necessarily change the team. I don't think there's any reason. We finally got a team that played well, scored a couple of goals. No need to change it with any injuries, exactly. So keep it. Why not?
There's no need to ask Bob the Builder, can he fix it? Because it doesn't need to be fixed.
Yeah, well, I mean, we waxed lyrical about Palmer, Mudrick, Connor, all those players in the week. How do you sit there now and go, yeah, take him out?
That's the thing, because the one maybe you would take out logically would have been Connor, with Palmer going into the 10 and then Sterling coming back. You can't drop the man of the match.
No, it was unbelievable.
So
I rewatched, because obviously my man of the match was Palmer.
Yeah, same.
But then I rewatched some of the highlights. You just watch Connor.
He
I liked was he the simple stuff he did so well, like that. That's, and I love those sort of players. Those are the sort of players I love to watch. But yeah, we'll have to see. But I mean, let's quickly run through our predictions, basically, of what our 11 will be. If we're saying it's the same team, guess Sanchez,
same team.
So it's just, let's just for the listener at home. Okay, we need
the casual viewer who didn't watch the Fulham game. You mean
exactly? Yeah. So we'll have Sanchez in goal.
Yep.
Cooker out right back.
Yep.
Colwell at left back.
Yep.
Thiago De Zassi.
Yeah, Thiago and De Zassi is the two centre halves.
Moises.
Yeah.
And Gallagher.
Caicedo, as some people call it.
And Enzedo is better, surely.
Enzedo sounds cool.
So that's sounds
my name
like
my kid Enzedo.
So it sounds like a new Mitsubishi car. The Mitsubishi Enzedo.
Do you never know? People
available in 4x4.
They are both Rolls Royce players.
So yeah, but then Enzedo does sound
the.
This is a struggle.
I feel like Gallagher's like, he's like the Corsa that they do.
Gallagher's a Labrador.
But if you're a car, he's like a good runaround. He's a Corsa.
That has a lot.
But he's a Corsa, which
Corsa, but with all the rims and
The one they've done out for Need for Speed Underground.
Like Harvey Elliott, to be honest.
Yeah, no, anyway. Maybe not Harvey Elliott. Yeah, what's good? Just a good
just
family
does
car.
A good job. Just like
Volvo's a two up market. I feel
just
like
some sort of Peugeot.
He's a Volkswagen Passat, I feel like, maybe.
I don't know. I'm not a big car man.
I mean, if we were to run through players as cars, I think Sanchez is just, you know, big.
Mate, I don't have a
I like balls,
cars,
not
yeah.
wheels.
Yeah,
so
I mean, sorry, what?
That's my sport. That's how I like my sport. I like balls, not wheels. Anything with wheels in it, don't give a shit.
I fully with F1 to me, genuinely.
F1
just,
is like
just
watching paint dry. It's a car go around in circles 72 times. Why
actually
do I use
circles?
Exactly. People go even more boring.
Oh, but you haven't watched Drive to Survive on Netflix, and you don't understand the aerodynamics and how much weight
they have to lose.
I don't give a fork.
It doesn't really measure up to like Formula One. Like when they obviously over dramatize it a lot. But I enjoy the sport. But I mean, for me, I just like my cars in terms of like if I look at them, you know, that's what I like. I'm not like
modes of transport. Get me from A to B.
Oh no, I would like a really nice car because it's a nice car. But like, I wouldn't be like, oh, I want that R67
with the V8 12 engine.
Yeah, exactly.
497
It sounds like an Xbox 360 gamertag in like 2011. Like it's not.
What is your dream car then? Like, what if you had to pick a car? Like you said, obviously, just based on outlook.
I'd like a black, a black Range. I think they look quite cool. If I wanted a sporty one, I'd
sport Range Rover Sport,
like, probably like a Lambo or something would be quite cool.
A Lambo,
maybe. Nice.
I genuinely don't know. Like,
you've lived in London your whole life, haven't you? So you haven't really needed one.
A car.
Oh no, my Polo's done the job. Yeah, it gets me from A to B, and that's that.
I do like a nice Polo.
That's all I need.
I like one of the old GM Golf GTIs, like the old school ones from the '80s. Mm. That's what I'd want.
I said it gets me from A to B, and said earlier how my car's fucked. My car is fucked. it used to get me for about 8 years. It got me from A to B.
Anyway, front three.
Front three. But yeah, anyway.
Yeah, same old.
Mudrick, Breuer, Palmer.
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
Done. Up the Chelsea. We're winning 4-0. You heard it here first. Spoiler.
I think I put
we've
three.
Got our predictions, and that will be coming up
exactly
tomorrow for you guys.
Exactly. Yeah, so you'll get our predictions tomorrow. But anyway, we will move swiftly on into Echo Thoughts. not sponsored by Echo Fools.
Is it?
It's not yet, no.
It's in the pipeline.
I have actually reached out to Echo Fools for a sponsorship. You think I'm kidding? I slid in the DMs.
Echo Fools.
Echo Fools.
Did they leave you on red?
Haven't responded yet, no. But then I...
But have they read it?
I they haven't read it yet.
Okay.
So what I then also did was I went to the head of marketing on LinkedIn for Echo Fools. Oi, you, come here.
Oi, 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 that's an odd one. But anyway, yeah, let's rattle through these quickly.
We got these Echo Thoughts, which is, how important is a game for our season?
Yeah, it's really fucking important. We need to win. Come on.
Yep.
Yeah, sounds good. Yep. We're currently 5 points off of Europe, which is actually not a lot in the grand scheme of things. I think people panicked.
Off of Europa.
But that's Europa. That's off the conference league.
That's fine. We can glaze past that. Can we genuinely achieve that this season for Europe?
Yeah. What, Europa? Yeah.
I wouldn't mind conference league, just because then we can actually say we've won it all if we do win the conference league.
And get some random...
No. We can do better than that.
Can you not imagine how amazing would the vlogs be? Chelsea Echo go to Lithuania.
You're prioritising content over the Chelsea. No, I'm not
watch Chelsea against CFR Cluj.
I'm obviously I want
that
us to finish
train
higher.
Going around the ground or whatever.
That'd be sick. You can say you were there.
I grew out of Thomas the Tank Engine a long time ago. I want the Chelsea on top.
I want the Chelsea on top. But you know, if we do end up in Europa Conference League, I'm not gonna complain.
We can do better.
I said we finished seventh or eighth this season. I'd be content.
I said
with that.
Sixth. Europa, I think Europa will be fine. But we can come fifth.
Europa is understandable, at the moment, but fifth, we can get Champions League.
At the moment, fifth is Champions League.
It's fifth. Actually, wait, maybe not. The English clubs are...
Exactly. At the moment, fifth is Champions League. When I last looked, which was before Newcastle won last night, English teams were 14th in the coefficient. So fifth will not be...
All our hard work for us being undone with our 1 year out.
Anyway.
Yeah.
That's Arsenal for you.
Though. Echo Thoughts. Yeah, lol.
But yeah, Echo Thoughts. That's how I thought that should be like Echo Thoughts. Moving on to the next part of Echo Thoughts is, out of our new signings, who would you say has been our best and who has been our worst?
No exclamation, because there's three of us, so everyone just go around and say best and then everyone say worst. Louis, go first.
Come back to me. I'm thinking. I haven't thought about this.
Sanchez.
I knew you'd say Sanchez because you don't.
It's the level of upgrade. I could have gone. I've enjoyed because I did the last few games, but yeah, it's just the level of upgrade we've had is so nice. And not watching that tosser, it's just good.
Palmer.
You hadn't thought about it either.
No, I haven't.
Well, I thought they were like on the spot questions.
On the spot.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I'm gonna go Sanchez as well because I agree with Tobes.
Boring. Worst, you can go first this time.
I don't know. We've signed so many. Exactly. I don't even know.
Worst. I have no idea.
To be fair, I know mine. Shall I go?
Yeah.
It's harsh, but I'll go Lavia because we haven't seen any of him. Whereas at least with Nkunku, a bit of preseason looks exciting, but like, I haven't seen Lavia yet.
Yeah, I agree. Lavia, we haven't seen him.
He was hefty as well, 60 mil.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And that's not none of his fault. Obviously, he's injured, but like, naturally, that's the worst because we haven't seen any of him.
Yeah, that's fair. That's pretty. I couldn't agree more.
Marsh.
Exactly. Echo Thoughts.
Thoughts.
Next one. If you have any Echo Thoughts of your... Wow. Okay, hang on. If you have any Echo Thoughts of your own, feel free to let us know, all of them, across our socials. Our Twitter is a little bit dead, so if you guys are on Twitter, please do it on there.
It's a ghost
really
town,
it.
Guys. Get it popping.
Yeah, exactly. And then we're going to get TikTok going soon. That is going to be on the
hashtag,
TikTok toes.
Use the hashtag Echo Thoughts.
Thoughts.
Lee Smith.
And now we can go through them and I subliminally just
put that in just to get the reader's drawing as well, because we're yet to receive a drawing.
Still waiting for Lee. Drawing of Lee.
I need a drawing.
So yeah, Lee Smith drawings and any questions about anything. Doesn't have to be Chelsea related.
It's true. I really want to do stuff like that. I'd love to do like International Bridge, do an agony aunt.
That's what the emergency echo.
The emergency echoes are Twitter spaces where we could talk about anything.
Damn.
I feel like even though we've done this recording today, we should do one tonight. I just want to talk about VAR and the shambles. Because no one gives a shit about Europa League, do they? No, who's playing that's any good?
Liverpool.
Lask.
It's good.
Liverpool against... It's McAllister v McAllister tonight, isn't it?
It is.
Union Saint-Gilloise.
His brother is called... is the guy from Home Alone. It's Kevin. His name's Kevin. Kevin McAllister. I couldn't believe it. I was like, so they named him Kevin when you had the surname McAllister.
Hold on. This, you take the piss, are you being for real?
No, no, genuinely.
Alexis McAllister's brother. Kevin, and he plays for Union Saint-Gilloise, who Liverpool are playing tonight in the Europa League.
And I don't know if he's named after Home Alone, but he's the exact same name.
Does he directly look like him? That's the only reason I watched that, just to find out. We'll have to see. But yeah, anyway, guys, give us your Echo thoughts.
Thoughts.
Thank you. Any point. Tune in for tomorrow's predictions or spoilers. Tom is going to be taking the hot seat again, as he did win last month, which means, you know, he's going to be the guy who's going to be in charge of all of that. This has been a Highway 61 production, a part of the network of Highway 61. So make sure you check out all the other fantastic stories around there. Follow us on our socials. Please do share us and tune in for the review of Chelsea, hopefully beating Burnley.
We will beat Burnley.
Three in a row.